if you're a Bear fan, look, okay, the problem you have is the NFL is a mathematical issue. There's only so many reps you can give players at practice. So you've got Mike Glennon, who needs all the reps, and you just drafted Mitchell Trubisky, who needs all the reps plus 10 more, okay? How does this work? How do you have practice? Like, and then, you know, you've signed Glennon to this contract. He's going to throw some bad interceptions, and everybody at Soldier Field is going to say, put in Trubisky. The dynamic doesn't work here for me.
Cheers, Bears fans! This is Bears Barroom Radio. I am Aldo Gandia, and that was former NFL executive Mike Lombardi on Bill Simmons' podcast that you can find over at theringer.com. Lombardi echoes a couple of my concerns about the Mitch Trubisky acquisition, and if you are a Trubisky fan, I promise you that this show isn't going to be a Trubisky troll fest. There's a lot of that going on already. In fact, listen to this clip from pro football analyst and former NFL cornerback Bucky Brooks talking about Trubisky before the draft.
This is a guy that has skyrocketed up the charts since the middle of the fall. Scouts can't stop raving about his talent. He is a guy that when you talk to scouts, they believe he's a pure pocket passer, a guy that can make all the throws in the book. The only concern that they have, he only has 13 starts on his career resume. Not quite enough starts to really make a huge assessment on what he could be at the next level, but they all are agreeing that he is a talented player. When I look at him on tape, he is super talented when it comes to throwing the football. He can spin it. He can make every throw in the book. He can make it with timing and anticipation. He can use all areas to fill. And he's a guy that is really calm under pressure. I like his poise. I like his decision making. I like his accuracy. This is a guy that had the fifth highest completion percentage in FBS in 2016. And he's only going to get better with more reps.
Ah, reps, more reps. When will the young quarterback get those reps? Just like Lombardi asked at the top of the show. We'll touch on that topic a little later. You know, I'm still fascinated by the whole process Ryan Pace took to select Trubisky. And that's why I've asked Emily Kaplan of Sports Illustrated and MMQB.com to be our guest for a good portion of this episode. Emily displayed her investigative reporting skills by piecing together how Pace kept this whole thing a secret. I'll tell you, Ryan Pace is as good at evaluating college talent as he is at keeping a secret. The Bears might be headed to a Super Bowl sooner than I expect. Anyway, Emily also writes a college column at MMQB, and she shares some quick thoughts about the 2018 draft. Don't worry, we will not mock that draft for another 11 months. And then before the end of the show, I want to share some concerns I have, not so much about Trubisky, but about trading up for a quarterback. If you heard part one of our draft recap show last week, you may have heard me conclude that podcast with a rant on the selection of Trubisky. So I ask you to stick around for after the interview with Emily Kaplan, and I promise you that I will give you a calmer explanation about my concerns with trading up for Trubisky. Okay, and then before I roll the Emily Kaplan interview, I want to play a quick portion of an interview that the Bears posted on their website, ChicagoBears.com, and the interview was with area scout Chris Prescott. This small portion of the interview is Prescott describing his role in evaluating Trubisky during the college football season and into the combine. I think it complements Emily's interview, so listen up.
You know, for me, obviously, I go to North Carolina, so I go to the school, I go to games, so I have a chance to watch him play live. You know, we'll see how he interacts on the sideline with his teammates. I know a lot of the coaching staff at, you know, North Carolina, a lot of support people that I would talk to, and then at the combine, you know, we'll interview guys and things like that. So I had interactions with him there. Those were my major interactions with him.
Of course, that's just part of the evaluation process. Ryan Pace and his scouts looked at every snap that Trubisky took, even the ones prior to him being a starter in college, and analyzed those. They also studied how other teams have acclimated quarterbacks into the NFL. They've done a good job, by all accounts. They've done a good job in assessing Trubisky and preparing for his transformation into an NFL quarterback. More on that later. But right now, I want to go to our virtual bar room where Emily Kaplan awaits me. She has been with MMQB for 4 years, writing about football. Let's talk to her now. As promised, we are joined by Emily Kaplan, writer over at Sports Illustrated and MMQB.com, the home that Peter King built. You can find Emily on Twitter at Emily M. Kaplan. That's Emily E-M-I-L-Y M. Kaplan with a K. Emily, if we were meeting in a real bar room with a group of coworkers after work, what would you be drinking?
It's a great question. My hard liquor of choice is a scotch and soda, or I like beer as well.
Very good. Well, given that it's Cinco de Mayo when we're recording this, I'm sipping on a virtual margarita.
There you go.
Now, Emily, one of your latest articles for MMQB is called Inside the Bears' Covert Op to Draft Mitchell Trubisky. And I got to tell you that as I was reading your article, I started hearing this kind of James Bond music, you know, playing in my head. You write that in mid-March, Trubisky parked his beat-up Toyota Camry outside a swanky steakhouse in Chapel Hill. And in a private dining room, he met with the Bears GM, head coach, and the offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, and director of player personnel. Can you kind of pick up the story from there, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I love the background music that you added to it. That's a nice vibe.
Thanks.
But what was so interesting is when they drafted Trubisky, everyone was so shocked when they said this really came out of nowhere. And it really shocked Trubisky, too, because they had met in mid-March, and this was kind of a private meeting, and Mitch Trubisky kept it private. But since then, he didn't hear from them at all. And, you know, he really had a great dinner with, you know, these decision-makers in the draft and the Bears. The next day, they had a workout. It was about 90 minutes, and Mitch said he threw great. But he saw so much more interest from other teams from that mid-March meeting until draft night. And then when Roger Goodell heard his name, called his name, that was the first time he ever knew he would be a Bear. And the next time he talked to Ryan Pace was a couple minutes after that.
Why do you think there was so much surprise by the NFL over the selection?
Yeah, I think that everyone had kind of resigned to the Bears not going for one of the top quarterbacks in these drafts. I think that Ryan Pace has been really slow building the Bears pretty deliberately in their rebuild and building through the draft. So what he did was just really off-brand and off-characteristic of what he had done in the past two drafts. And so that's what I think shocked so many people. And the fact that they gave up so much just to get from number three to number two was also a little bit of a surprise.
Do you think that the signing of Mike Glennon was also part of this kind of clandestine attempt to conceal the Bears were super interested in Trubisky?
Not necessarily. I think that it's all part of the larger plan. And I think when they signed Mike Glennon, maybe at that moment they didn't know they were going to get a top quarterback, but they always left open that option. Possibility. And the fact that his money is just guaranteed for $18.5 million in this first year, and after that, they really don't owe him much, really opened the door if they wanted to get a guy. So, yes, the signing of Mike Glennon definitely threw people off and maybe made people think that they weren't going to get someone at number three, but I don't know necessarily if that's why they did it.
Yeah, you say it's part of their overall plan, and one of the things that we've complained about on our Bears Ballroom radio show here is, what exactly is this plan? We heard John Fox say at a press conference once, we don't have a plan, and we've made fun of that remark. And now into year three of Ryan Pace's reign as Bears general manager, now they're openly talking about rebuilding. It seems like there's been some hiccups, haven't there?
Yeah, it does seem like, you know, maybe if he had done this in year one, people might be a little more comfortable for it. But it almost seems like he's pressing reset in year three. I do think he has a plan now, and I think maybe it took him a little while to get there. But you saw what they did with free agency. They signed 12 free agents, which is more than any other team. And a lot of them were middle-of-the-road free agents. It wasn't anything really exciting, but he's just throwing as many darts as he could and seeing what sticks. So that's all going to hold them over until 2018, when hopefully Mitchell Trubisky will be able to start and be a good starter. And then their next draft picks was also kind of surprising, where three out of the next four guys didn't play at the FBS level. And that fourth guy, Eddie Jackson, is coming off a broken leg. So those are guys that you think might take a year or two to adjust to that NFL game.
And again, in your story here, which a fine piece of reporting, you quote a couple of general managers, player personnel people in the NFL who wondered openly about this draft by pace. Can you tell us a little bit about what the reaction has been?
Yeah, it's been pretty shocking. And the one quote that I used pretty high was from a pretty high-ranking guy in an AFC front office. And he said, look, I think everyone's just shocked at what the Bears are doing, because Ryan Pace, he's a really respected personnel guy, and we all thought this would be a pretty middle-of-the-road draft for them. And so what he did was totally off the grain. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. I just don't really know what's going on over there.
Yeah. Now, do you get the sense that Pace may have been bidding against himself in this transaction with the San Francisco 49ers to move up this one slot to acquire Trubisky?
That's the question everyone wants to know, and it kind of pairs with the other question is, did they bid against themselves with Mike Glennon and overpay him? And here's where I stand. I think, look, there's probably a good chance if they had just held pat, they could have gotten Mitch Trubisky at number three. But they had enough conviction that there were teams that were really interested in him, teams like the Browns that had a significant more amount of draft capital to, you know, offer the 49ers with all those draft picks, that Ryan Pace wanted to make his move. And if he fell in love with this quarterback and decided he can't be the GM of Chicago without him, he can't live without him, if it made him feel a little more comfortable at night giving up 2 third-round picks and a 4th-round pick, I'm okay with it. Because in the end, if Mitch Trubisky becomes a franchise quarterback, are any Bears fans really going to remember those 2 third-round picks and a 4th-round pick? Or are they ever going to even remember the salary they gave Mike Glennon?
In your college column, you write a college column for MMQB. You answered a question about how many wins the Bears could possibly win next year. Can you kind of give us a summary of that?
I think they could go 500 next year. I think they could even be a little above 500. I don't think there's any expectation in Chicago of their front office that they're going to compete with the Green Bays of the world this year, per se. But I think in a best-case scenario, Mike Glennon pans out to be the quarterback that they hoped he could be and deserves that salary. I believe that that defense is actually really good, especially the front seven. And I know some Bears fans roll their eyes, but when healthy, their front seven is like a top 10 unit. And Vic Fangio is the best defensive coordinator, one of them in the league. The secondary does give me pause. I will admit that it's not a great secondary, but if all things work out according to plan, I don't think that they're going to be picking in the top 5 of the draft again.
Now, in your last college column for this part of the year, I think you're on hiatus now for a month or two.
I am, yeah.
Good for you. Take a much deserved break, I'm sure. Your last column was titled "A Look Ahead to the College Football Season and the 2018 Draft." Given that Vic Fangio was only given one draft pick in this draft, as you mentioned, Eddie Jackson, who are the top defenders perhaps that we should be on the lookout for as potential 2018 targets for Ryan Pace and Vic Fangio and John Fox?
Yeah, so what's really interesting is in the 2018 class, everyone is talking about the quarterbacks, right, and offensive players. But there are some strong defensive players, too. And I don't think we're going to see as many, you know, maybe a transcendent talent like Myles Garrett. But the top edge rusher in this class is Arden Key of LSU. He's a little bit skinny. He might remind some Bears fans of Leonard Floyd. When I talked to a scout, he compared him to Aldon Smith, who's another player that obviously Vic Fangio is pretty familiar with. So he's probably the top edge rusher guy that might fit into Vic Fangio's system. There's also James, and he is the safety from Florida State, and he was injured last year, but he's considered probably the best safety in the game. And I think if he had been healthy last year and declared and entered this draft, he would have been up there. Maybe not with Jamal Adams, maybe just like a tier below him, right with Malik Hooker.
Well, as a lifelong Chicago Bears fan, it seems like every year I'm looking forward more to the draft than the regular season, given the lack of success we've had. Emily, remind our audience again where we can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And Emily M. Kaplan on Twitter. There's a lot of Emily Kaplans out there, so I had to add the middle initial.
And you also have a Facebook page, correct? correct?
Yes. You can find me if you search, I think it's Emily M. Kaplan as well, or just Emily Kaplan with Sports Illustrated. It should come up.
Emily, thanks very much. We hope to talk to you again in the future, and have a great vacation.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of that virtual margarita.
I will indeed. Thank you. Okay, so now I want to share some thoughts about the transaction to acquire Trubisky. As many of you know, I'm not a fan of the move, in part because the Bears are in rebuild mode and more draft picks, of course, are better than less. In part because, as mentioned earlier, Ryan Pace should have been increasing his chances of landing a franchise quarterback by drafting one in 2015 and 2016, and now the move to acquire Trubisky, it reeks of desperation. And in part because I'm not totally convinced Trubisky was the best quarterback in this draft. If he was, and we know that the Cleveland Browns and San Francisco 49ers are in desperate need of a quarterback, why didn't they take him? It's not like Myles Garrett or Solomon Thomas are being mentioned along Bruce Smith and Leroy Salmon, who are, by the way, the last two number one overall defensive players picked in the draft who ended up in the Hall of Fame. So why didn't they draft Trubisky? And if the Cleveland Browns really wanted Trubisky, as many people are claiming, then those Clevelanders, they had all of the draft assets to outbid Ryan Pace and pick up Trubisky in a trade with John Lynch of the 49ers. They had the resources, so why didn't they make the move? Now, I want to delve into the value of the draft picks the Bears traded. But before I do that, I want to be fair. I want to be totally fair here. So I got a clip here of Bill Polian, the Hall of Fame NFL executive. He loved the transaction by Pace. And this is what he told the Waddle and Sylvie show on WMVP ESPN AM 1000.
I thought it was a stroke of genius. The Bears kept quiet. The Browns told the world that they were going to take Garrett and then trade back up for Trubisky, assuming that no one else would do it. The Bears kept quiet. They talked with San Francisco. They made a deal, and boom, they took him at the very spot that Cleveland could have had they made a deal with San Francisco and assured themselves of both guys. And so I thought it was just tremendous of Ryan Pace. Great move, great organizational move, great discipline in terms of keeping things quiet and staying out of the press. A lesson for the Cleveland Browns, although they probably don't think that they did anything wrong. Bottom line, great, great move. That's what general managers get paid to do. That's draft management at its best.
Okay, I get it. I'm opening myself to a lot of ridicule by disagreeing with the great Bill Polian, but so be it. Listen, it's not like Trubisky came out of college with the same reputation that Peyton Manning had when Polian selected the son of Archie. It's not like Polian never made draft mistakes. In fact, if you dissect Bill Polian's drafts, you will find that he made a lot more poor choices than he did good ones. So, yeah, I don't mean to denigrate Bill Polian, but I just disagree that this was a brilliant operation that Pace did to keep things secret, as Emily Kaplan described it, as a covert operation. That was definitely brilliant. But the choice, the trade, I should say, for Mitchell Trubisky and the choice of Trubisky, I have questions about. So let's get into that a little bit. I'm in agreement with those who say that the only way you trade up for a quarterback is if you have a can't-miss quarterback like Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning. Now, of course, nobody is 100%, right? But those two guys are about as close as you can get in any of the drafts of recent memory. And we're talking back, 20 years Manning was drafted or so? So Trubisky, in terms of his college portfolio, is far from being in that Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning league. In fact, Chase Stewart of footballperspective.com, he pointed out that the Atlantic Coast Sports Media Association and the ACC coaches only named Trubisky to the third team in their conference all-stars behind Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson. So let's take a look at the draft value Pace gave up for Trubisky. And again, I'm relying on the fantastic work here of Chase Stewart of footballperspective.com. And I'll have a link to some of his work on the website so that you can, if you care to get in depth into his explanations on draft value and whether the Bears pay too much. But let me give you kind of a 30,000 feet analysis of what he's provided, and I agree with wholeheartedly. Now, with the four draft picks that Pace traded for the number two overall pick, using Stewart's draft value calculator, which many NFL teams abide by, Pace traded 46 draft value points. Now, the number one overall pick is only worth 34.5. So he already paid more than if he was moving up into the number one overall pick for Myles Garrett or Trubisky. Now, the number two pick that Pace did trade for is worth 30 value points. Now, that's a big disparity. He traded away 46 draft value points for 30. Put it another way, the Bears paid 152 cents on the dollar to pick Trubisky. Stewart writes that on average, those teams that have traded up in the past usually pay about 149 cents on the dollar to move up in the draft to get their quarterback. So the Bears paid more than what's on the average. Is this the worst move ever made for a quarterback in trading up for him? No, using his metrics, in recent memory, the trade up for Robert Griffin III is a historically poor value trade, followed by Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. So you see what's going on here, right? Teams are becoming so desperate to land the quarterback that they are making these ridiculous trades to move up to pick the guy that they think is going to be a can't-miss player. Now, check this out. Stewart writes, and I will, again, link this on bearsbarroom.com. Stewart has come up with research on the last 13 drafts, and there have been, in those 13 drafts, there have been 16 trades by general managers to move up to pick a quarterback. So it's too early, Stewart writes, and I agree with him, it's too early to make a judgment on the last six trades. You know, half of them were in this year's draft, and then I think the other half was last year. So we can only look at the first 10 of those 16 trades. Seven of the 10 can be safely listed as a bust. Six out of 10, if you think there's still a chance that Teddy Bridgewater can resurrect his career. Now, take a guess on who has the three successes. Who are the three successes so far? I'll give you a few seconds to think about it. Who are the three successes at quarterback that general managers traded up to acquire? Take a few seconds. Think about it. Have a drink. All right. If you said, number one, Joe Flacco, number two, Jay Cutler, and number three, arguably, Mark Sanchez, then if you said those three, I'm buying you a virtual beer. Think about it, Bears fans. It's just too damn risky to trade up. You know, in sports, I have a few Jedi masters, guys who have said things that just really clicked with me. And one of them comes from Michael Jordan. He would preach to his fellow teammates, let the game come to you. And maybe those were Phil Jackson's words because it sounds very Zen-like, right? But basically what it means is don't panic. And I think that Pace panicked here to acquire a quarterback because he had basically screwed up the quarterback position for the Chicago Bears by not addressing it earlier. So let me conclude with this. I don't want it all to be bad news. And, you know, I'm a glass half full kind of guy when it comes to being a Bears fan. But I think that Ryan Pace can seriously improve the odds that Trubisky becomes the franchise quarterback that we Bears fans deserve. But he's got to take this kind of three-point plan. Number one, don't rush him. Don't rush him. I don't even care if Trubisky does not dress for all 16 games this season. That should only be determined by how good he does in the classroom and on the practice field. Both. first in the classroom and then translate that onto the practice field. If Glennon and Sanchez look better in the classroom and on the practice field, then they should dress every week as the number one and number two quarterbacks. And if the Bears go all 16 games with Trubisky not dressing, I will give Ryan Pace some slack. Bear with me here. Number two, Pace said one of the reasons he drafted Trubisky was because they saw him as a really good fit for Dow Loggins' offense. So, Mr. Pace, do whatever you have to do to keep Mr. Loggins around for several years. Don't make the same mistake they made in Jacksonville with Blake Bortles and change his offensive coordinator. And that leads to my next point, number three, protect Trubisky. Keep him upright when he's on the field with a collection of the best offensive linemen in the NFL. And protect him also from all the bull he is likely to hear if he's not playing this season or maybe even into next season. Reinforce to the media that there is a plan to slowly develop this quarterback as other franchises have done with their franchise quarterback. Make sure that you protect Trubisky not only on the field, but off the field by communicating the plan that you're bringing him along slowly. And if for some reason he does really, really well in the classroom and on the practice field and he is starting on game five, then whoa, pleasant surprise. But don't even give fans and the media the indication that he's going to play this year. Protect him. Now, finally, I'm going to close the show by offering some advice to Bears fans, my fellow Bears fans. And it's pretty simple. Don't be stupid. Don't go out there and buy a Trubisky jersey. Don't go out there to the games and chant, "We want Mitch. We want Mitch." No, 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 no. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Because that, what will happen is that you are just going to rush this guy along. You're going to be putting pressure on him. And eventually what's going to happen is you're going to burn that jersey and you will instead be chanting something like "Mitch is a bitch." So please don't be stupid. Just take your time. Be patient along with me and every other Bears fan should be very patient. Okay, that's our show. Please stop by the website. We're populating it with interesting articles. Everyone in the barroom, by the way, has posted their own redrafts. So you can see Jose Cotto's, Phil Atoshin's, Lauren Cox's. You can see Shane Marsaw's, the mailman, my redraft. Take a look at those. And also, if you want to submit your redraft of the Chicago Bears draft, send it to us. We've got a page where we're putting in a lot of our followers' redrafts. I think we've got about 9 or 10 already up there. So those will be up there for posterity. And you can go back years from now and say, "Listen, I wanted Jamal Adams as the first round draft pick, and then Jamal Adams will have 5 Pro Bowls by then," and we can say you were right. Anyway, on our next podcast, we're going to take a deep dive into what the other NFC North teams have been doing. So that podcast will be available later this week. And remember, if you drink, don't drive, and always bear down.